Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart. And yes, I'm trying to multitask here. So this week we are again, sponsor free. So it's just me saying hello to you. I sit down. It must have been 2 years ago now or a year and a half. But I sat down with a good friend of mine, childhood friend, Charles Jessis, who is now, at the time he was leaving to go to Florida, pursue a career. He is back, and now he's a stand-up comic, and you know how much I love comedy. And then, of course, my good friend Justin Jurfee, the owner, co-founder of Ingenious Brewing here in Houston. If you follow us on social media, you see that I gave them a fantastic note of love in regards to one of the releases from this past weekend. Justin comes on today for us to talk about everything going on at Ingenious, the way the beer culture has shifted from being not so cynical to very much a fanboy audience of what Ingenious is doing, which is great on him. And then, of course, we've talked about it on the show a little bit. Don't ask me which episode, but Old Saint Nick was a very, very well-known brand many years ago and is highly coveted within the bourbon community. They relaunched their brand this year, and Justin, who Old Saint Nick is very special to him, decided to bring those bottles onto the show today. So we taste the new product. No spoiler alerts. And so, yeah, we just sit. We have a few beers. We talk about everything that's going on. And a good time was had by all. So without further ado, actually, one more thing. Merch for the show can be found at whiskeymerch.com. Yes, that's whiskey with the E, merch.com. And, yeah, check out Houston Bourbon Society on Facebook. And without further ado, Justin Jurfee and Charles Jessis. Cheers. It's been a while. I know last time you were here, Charlie, were about to leave on an adventure to Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Gave up your entire life here.
Yeah, gave away everything, packed it all in a van, went to Miami.
Oh, you're right. And I against my wishes too, because I tried real hard to get you to stay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You every day you're like, this is a bad idea. I hadn't talked to you much, but you were just like, you know what? You're making mistakes. And yeah, I was like, I got to make these mistakes, Dad. Let me go.
That's been a running dad joke thing of just wanting. I want what's best for you, and you're back now. Life has returned to normal.
Yeah,
except that van has now been killed.
Yeah, I got hit by a tornado yesterday. I have this theory. It's like, God doesn't want me to have all the windows in my cars. Like, so for a long time, my front window and my Mazda was broke. I got it fixed, and then a homeless guy broke the back window in the Mazda.
Sure.
I let that go for like a year. I was like, you know, this is $100 every time somebody wants my change. And then, so I finally got the back window of my Mazda fixed. And then our tornado
destroyed your van.
Just took a tree limb and threw it through my windshield in my van, and it was like, "There's another $100." You know, I can't.
I feel like windshields at least $300. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely.
I mean, I'll go to like a pick and pull or something like that. You know, because it's a '95 Chevy.
Sure, you know, sure. So, I doubt they're making current windshields like that. Well, the important thing to remember about all that is that I can't let you borrow any money for your windshield.
No.
Losing investment there.
But good luck with that.
Yeah. You know, we'll see how it goes. So.
And Justin, owner of Ingenious Brewery, co-owner, co-founder.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for coming by. We talked a little bit right before. I know you've, what you've got in front of you is the new generation and peppered in with the last generation of Preservation Distillery in Kentucky. They did the Old St. Nick line, the world famous Old St. Nick line. You purchased their current products. And we thought we'd talk about that today, as well as the fact that you just had a massive release this weekend, all sold out, and you've got a couple new fun things in front of you. And I would love to start with one of your beers. So
yes, sure.
Feel free to guide us in the direction which beer we should start with, and let's get pouring.
Okay, excellent. I think we'll start with the our fancy Invisible Enemy bottle. Because this is a whiskey show, I think we should start with something that has seen whiskey.
Whiskey relevance, yeah. So that is something that I've always applauded. I applauded you back then that I've always loved the artwork on your beers. But Ingenious has actually gotten exponentially more efficient and better and creative with their labels. In front of you, for those, hold it up to the camera and you can let them see it. It just says Invisible Enemy. We're in the middle of lockdown or on the tail end of it. If you hold that label under a black light, you can see a little coronavirus bug.
Correct. Yeah. So the whole label is covered with coronaviruses under black light, but it's only visible under black light. You guys help yourself.
That's awesome.
Go ahead. You
this glass?
Yeah. Wait. Whatever glass you want. There's that one, but there's like cuts in the glass.
This is like the only thing I don't like about like craft beverages is that there's different cups for everything.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah, don't worry too much.
Yeah, we're just drinking beer. This it's, and for those who don't know, it's what is it? It's a barrel aged.
So yes, this is a 14% barrel aged Russian Imperial Stout that was aged in Blanton's barrels for 14 months.
Ooh, I love Blanton's.
Yeah, Blanton's good stuff. And the adjuncts we used for this one was toasted coconut and marshmallow fluff. So when we pulled the beer from the barrels, we adjuncted it to taste. And
Brandon, you want some of this? Yeah, a little barrel-aged stout here.
It's amazing.
So you definitely get the whiskey booze in it, but the adjuncts add a little bit of a sweetness. Not too sweet. I don't want it caloringly sweet, but it just rounds out the flavor. And
have you done the math? The math on the calorie count on this beast?
We don't recommend doing that.
We were trying to figure out the math, and I forget who said it, but he said a safe bet for just a regular stout, a regular beer is about 30 calories per ABV point. That only puts this at just under 500 calories. Then you throw in adjuncts and everything else to it. I mean, and the fact, and that's per 12 ounces, right? This is more than that. What is this? 16?
We're getting too caught up with calories here. We're gonna have
500 mils. Yeah, but it's just I'm in the middle of a weight loss competition with Todd, and for those watching at home, Todd, his fat ass fell off a bike this week and broke his leg in three places. So,
oh my god,
he's going to be sitting at home eating food during this competition. He was doing like something like 5 bike ride miles a day.
I heard he was so fat he couldn't tell it was swollen. You know, he was just
he said he knew he broke it immediately, and then he had to, his wife never answers her phone. He had to wait 20 minutes in the baking sun for her to check her messages. Like, he had just had an argument with her about it. Like, you never answer your phone. And then she didn't answer her phone when he said that he had snapped his leg. So turns out he definitely broke it 3 places. He's going to be out of commission for 6 weeks. So he's going to have to do this whole weight loss competition on the couch. In the meantime, I'm enjoying my
beer. Yeah, I know. It's safer just to sit on the couch and drink beer.
Yeah. I mean, oh, that's safer for sure.
So thick.
Yeah, dude. So every time I've had an Ingenious beer, it's always the most interesting thing that I've ever drank, and it's like really good. You know?
I mentioned this on social media, specifically with the Invisible Enemy beer, and I said it just before we started recording. I've known you before Ingenious,
correct?
And I could not be more excited about just the addition of your brewery to the Houston beer scene. You guys are more fun, more adventurous. I mean, I'm not just here to blow you. I've had some things that haven't been my favorite, but you guys have tried everything, and it's always been, yeah, let's do it. Let's try this. Let's try that. Let's do this. I love your Froyo beers. I've had a couple of your milkshakes recently.
Yeah.
I loved your cherry sour, or it was a cherry goes. The
Chief Cherry?
Yeah, Chief Cherry.
It was a sour, fruit
yeah.
sour.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. I tore through most of this weekend's release slightly before they were released. but you guys are really, I'm really happy to see just everything you guys are doing. And we recently dropped off, so for the Houston Whiskey Social, we had a very tobacco-heavy, very tobacco-rich Four Roses pick we did titled Robusto. It was like thick, spicy, old-world pipe tobacco, not that sweet stuff, not Cavendish, but more focused on the spiciness. I called Justin, or I reached out to you like right after your son was born.
Daughter. Yeah.
And wow. She was just born. It was a week ago. I just said, hey man, do you want to do a project with this barrel? And he said, absolutely. Like in the midst of like
cutting the cord, and on my watch, I'm like, yeah, yes, we do.
We'll take the barrel, and yeah. So we took it up to Ingenious. You guys are going to be aging for about a year at least, whenever it's ready.
Whenever it tells us when it's ready, but we're finding the sweet spot is 10. We've had one that was really good at 8, but 8 to 14. After that, it starts getting a bit too much tanniny, just like whiskey.
And it's the base for this one, right? The Invisible?
So the base that we put in the Robusto is a 14%. This one actually here started at 13%, so it went up an ABV point in the barrels. The one that we were going to put in the Robusto actually started at 14, so it'll probably end up at about 15%.
Oh, wow.
So the base that we put in that barrel is called, we call it Power. It's one of our Avenger Gemstone beers. It's named after the gemstone. But so it's a strong Russian Imperial Stout. That I think will do real well with that the profiles of that particular whiskey. So we're excited for that one, for sure.
I don't know if Derek mentioned this to you when I dropped it off, but on the way there, I just happened to have, I haven't had it in years, peanut brittle in my car. And I was eating peanut brittle. And I was like, man, peanut brittle is really good. And then I got to the brewery, had a little beer with some peanut brittle. And I was like, this brewery loves to do adjuncts. Have you guys ever done anything with peanut brittle?
You know, I don't think we've actually used peanut brittle in a beer. That's a very good idea. That's a very good idea.
I think it would be very kismet, very fun if we took this Four Roses barrel-aged stout and did something, however you add your adjuncts. Peanut brittle-wise.
Let's do it.
We just need a creative name. But what we're going to do is, for those listening and you're in Houston, when the time comes, when it's ready, we're going to host an event at the brewery.
Yep.
Invite everybody out for the release. And sell them in, I guess these aren't bombers, but glass bottles, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. I'll bottle it and do it.
So I think it'll be fun. We need a reason to get up there. It's the only problem I'm not up there more is humble
It's humble.
Yeah. God, yeah, dude. I always mix those two. I mix the vocabulary usage.
Yeah.
And the city pronunciation pretty badly. So I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. No, it will be for sure.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I don't go out there like every week. Well, I mean, other than the quarantine, it's just like humble so far.
So there's gonna be like 3-4 tornadoes on the way.
Yeah. I can't damage my van anymore, man. I already don't have a windshield.
Oh man. All right. So what else did you bring?
So I brought one of our heavily fruited sours. We call it Fruit Madness because I mean that really is what it is. It's borderline a smoothie essentially with the amount of fruit we use in it. So this one we did. For that same release, which was the theme was kind of frontline heroes. And so this one we call Frontline Madness. And it has watermelon and strawberries and blueberries.
Wow.
And marshmallows and also Twinkies went into this beer. So we do use some strange adjuncts. And you can get the Twinkie from it. So I think you'll enjoy this one.
I was like, you can get a Twinkie.
Yeah. And dip it in your beer.
You can taste it. You can pick it up.
I can't get a Twinkie.
Do you find, I know it's common in the whiskey world, do you find people frustrated with traditionalism with beer?
There's some vocal advocates out there amongst the social media scenes that kind of we used to get it more, but they argue against the
the smoothie beers and the
beer is like, that's not beer. That's a mixed drink or a cocktail at this point. That's not beer. And actually, it was hard to deal with that when we were first opening because we had such limited capacity to do what we wanted to do. And frankly, this was the adjunct heavy stuff was what people were buying more frequently. So that's kind of what we had to focus on. Not that we didn't like Pilsners and Kolsches and all this. Exactly. We prefer to drink those personally at the brewery, but they just don't sell as well. And as we've gotten bigger and employed more and acquired new equipment, we do a lot more of traditional things. We had a Belgian Strong this year. We always do a Pilsner now. There's always a Pilsner on. We've had a Kolsch. We've had a mild, a brown ale, a bunch of more traditional stuff. But even though there's those vocal advocates, they just don't sell as well.
Sure.
So we still, the releases that are coming out are still very adjunct heavy because that we replace what gets sold. And so if you want more lagers, you got to buy more lagers.
We went to Dallas this, last week to bottle up some of the stuff. And I have never been to 903.
Yeah, yeah.
And the owner came up to where we were bottling, and I gave him a bottle of our rum, and he brought just like a case of different stuff, the Puff Daddy and a bunch of different smoothie style beers. Fantastic. Loved them. No complaint whatsoever. I don't know why anyone would have an issue with this. Even if, let's just say it was defined as a cocktail at that point. So what? Is it good? Drink it.
Yeah.
That's how we feel.
I mean, what's that brewery that got in trouble because their ABVs were off, but they were doing a lot of fruit stuff? Picture of
450
the,
North.
Yeah, 450. They were very popular as well too for their fruited, their smoothie stuff.
Correct.
And, I'm eager to try it. This is the only one I didn't get when I was up
crack
there.
Crack it open.
I spent quite a bit of time and money while I was up there.
And you started.
And I've grabbed Boysen Blue and Healing Power and the March. Speaking of which, have you guys ever gotten a cease and desist for the Simpsons characters? Or
we haven't from the Simpsons characters. We've gotten cease and desist before.
For any specific beers I know of?
I think probably one of the stipulations of getting them is probably not to talk about
it. I've gotten it as long as I've gotten it on this show from Maker's Mark. There was an interview we did with Gulf Coast Distillers here in Houston, and they told us on air that they just bought two column stills that were Maker's Mark stills. So I repeated the information. Oh, you guys have some Maker's Mark stills. That's fantastic.
Holy fuck.
6 months later, I get a very well-written email for a cease and desist. I contacted my lawyer. I said, hey, can I talk about this? He's like, you can talk about it as long as you're not slanderous. Just talk about what it is. Don't add any color commentary to it, and you'll be fine. And I just took the episode down. I didn't even fight it. But I saw the recent cast of characters for the cans, and what I've always thought in this realm is, especially with breweries, is you guys do such small lots of beers, such a small run, that it's usually all gone before anyone says anything or has an
correct.
Issue.
Correct. And it's such small volume that...
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's so good.
That is intense.
such a small volume that we're not making a whole lot of money on these things. This is not something that... they're going to come after us and say, hey, we want all those profits he made, because frankly there wasn't a lot.
It's more novelty of
the, and we do respect the rights, you know, the intellectual property. We do respect those things. The reason these, and I'll say Simpsons themed, because there wasn't any, I mean, you could argue that Healing Power kind of looks like Marge, but the rest of them were just generic yellow skin kind of Simpsons
more in that style,
more artwork style. The reason we use that for this release is this release was a charity release. So we wanted something that grabs attention to improve visibility and relatability. And because, you know, again, even though everyone says, oh, you shouldn't steal intellectual rights, those beers do better. If you have something that people can relate to, a video game from their childhood, a TV show.
Oh, that's what the Heavy Hands with it's got the fighter guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that and I don't know how it would relate to in merchandise, but satire is protected.
Correct.
Satire is protected.
Correct.
So if you're making fun and teasing or some sort of role playing, I mean, that's all within protected intellectual rights.
Well, parody too.
Parody,
I mean, parody also works with that, you know. So,
and what a lot of people don't understand is the branding and intellectual rights are category specific. So, unless Fox Media, which is now owned by Disney, owned a alcohol Simpsons product, which I actually think they do, called Duff Beer, that they sell at Simpsons. But if they didn't have that, then they would have no legal basis to argue that, oh, you're using things that are...
Well, it's not like... I think there was... originally, I think there was some beef between Family Guy and Simpsons over... That style of kind of like I mean, a little, everything about it being kind of more of a not G-rated adult cartoon, you know. I mean there was some stealing of like plot lines, and the Simpsons have done so many episodes that it's hard not to create similar lines of thought. And it happens with comedy, and you haven't been on the show yet. I wanted to mention this, but Chuck here, when he came back to Houston, has become a full-blown legitimate paid stand-up comedian.
Yep.
And I'm a huge stand-up fan, and we were supposed to actually go see Brendan Schaub and them tomorrow, but someone got hired to do stand-up elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, sort of.
a little bit of a mix.
I got hired, the guy was like, yeah, Friday, and then I was like, hey guys, sorry I can't hang out with y'all, I got duty calls.
So I sold your ticket to someone else.
Right, and then he texted me like the next, like today, and he was just like, hey, by the way, that's for next Friday. My bad. And
yeah,
I was like,
you son of a beep.
Yeah, all right, man. Well,
I gave you such a hard time about leaving to Florida, but I'm really proud of what you've done. I mean,
yeah. I mean, living in Florida, it was something I had to do, you know, like, because I grew up in Pasadena, and I just had to get out and go see something else. And I like quickly realized that Miami is not what you think Miami is, you know?
Like
you
it's see, not like, what the, it is in Dexter.
Right, yeah, or like Bad Boys or whatever.
Sure, you know?
Like,
Will Smith's not there.
I remember...
That bridge has way more traffic.
I remember pulling up to where I was going to park my van for a majority of the time, and it was like right in between like Miami's ghetto called Overtown and then the new like art district Wynwood. It was like the separating block. It was the only free parking in the entire city. And I pull up.
Is this another window got broken story?
No. No, my windows never got broken in Miami, which is crazy. But homeless people knew that I was living in there, and they would just come knock on the window to ask, you know, hey, man, give me a blue Gatorade. And I'm just like, dude, I'm asleep, you know, like, leave me alone.
So this is different levels of homelessness there.
Yeah, I was homeless. I was plus. Prince homeless, you know?
Yeah. So, like...
you were hot, you were bougie homeless.
Bougie as fuck.
Yeah.
My bad.
It's like the economy plus seats.
Yeah, Miami was great, and it kind of helped me clear my head, and I came back and floundered a little bit, you know, but...
Yeah, but no, I mean, you're at the Secret Group. I mean, Andrew Youngblood's been on the show.
Yeah.
Who's picked up a new whole career as an artist. He's doing really
good.
Dude,
he's insanely... What the heck?
He got I guess it's called an iPen or an Apple Pen or something.
Yeah, he got the new iPad Pro with the Apple Pen.
Whatever he's doing, the dude has found a natural talent for doodling, for drawing.
Yeah.
And his artwork is very reminiscent of like, early 2000s punk rock CD covers. Like it was, you know. I mean,
that's his whole style. That's what he dresses like, a early 2000s post rock.
I don't know, man. I saw a picture of him the other day. He was wearing a gold Rolex with like a really flamboyant shirt. He looked like a 1980s club owner that sure did a lot of cocaine.
He was in Hawaii whenever he took that picture. He doesn't tell that. He doesn't tell anybody that part, you know.
Well, non sequitur here. This is fantastic,
dude. This is so good.
And it just hit me. Have you ever? Is there a beer, be honest now, Justin, be honest.
I always am.
Is there a beer that you guys make, or I know you guys like to come back and do another iteration of something.
Sure.
That does really well for you, but you just are not a big fan of either the headache of making it or not a fan of the taste? It's a big hit,
but you wish you
could stop making it.
It's interesting that we're drinking this one of these Fruit Madnesses because they're by far the most intense beers to make. Just making one batch of it is more than a day's full of an employee adjuncting. Oh yeah,
it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious.
Yeah. That's our operations manager Derek. I mean, he slaves over it, and I think that's what. And we've tried to, I wouldn't say cut corners. We've tried to.
Can I re-up?
We've tried to streamline the process. And I can always tell. And one of the things that people who know me is quality.
It's so good, right?
It's really good.
It's really good. It's definitely got that sourness to it, but but I'm a huge fan. I was just Derek, buddy. I just came and saw you Saturday or Friday or Saturday to bring him that barrel, and I just told him, "Give me one of everything," and he put together a little thing. This was not in that everything.
It was probably finishing up that day. In fact, he probably delayed it.
Frontline madness.
Have you ever had like a acai bowl?
Yeah.
This is like a
beer version.
A boozy acai bowl. Like you should do a boozy brunch at the brewery and just freeze one of these and let people eat it.
So we get a pretty strong brunch crowd sometimes. Yeah. We have a good gastrocraft, our good buddies who make kick-ass food no matter what they're doing. But when they do a brunch, we'll sell a ton of these. We'll sell mimosas with beer. We'll sell hard coffee. We make hard coffee.
Oh yeah.
So we do pretty good for brunch when we do that. But so what I was saying is every time quality is number one. I mean that's what I care about. I don't care about profits. I don't care about you have to have good quality, and I'm not willing to cut corners. And so every time we've attempted to make something that's comparable that doesn't meet my criteria, I'm like, no, sorry, Derek, back to the cage. We got to get this.
Is that where you keep him in the cage?
That's what we call his area.
Yeah. I haven't been in the facility since I dropped off our last Jack barrel, which I think was 2 years ago. The amount of equipment you guys have gotten has just been, I hate to overuse the word exponential, but you guys are really knocking out. Have you talked about expanding the property?
We have. We've looked into it, and they're actually built a sister building right across the parking way. I mean, it shares a parking lot with us. That we were looking into purchasing it, and the developer sold it to someone before they offered us the opportunity to buy it.
I think you guys should have a free – like, I love Southern Star's facility, right? They've got their own freestanding facility. A B-52 in the woods, you know? What you guys are doing, and I hate to just fluff you up this entire time and not give you a hard time, but what you guys are doing is such a destination experience.
We try. I mean, we really do. We're close to the airport.
You want to take the family up there.
And we try. And so right now we're putting in this brand new outdoor area that we've done ourselves. We spent, we can't open the tap room for a couple months, so we just hard work. Well, I say we, like I did it. Every one of the employees who spends their day there, all gave hands and worked, and they've built this outdoor facility that I think is going to be this year a lot more fun to bring your family and your dog out to and enjoy a beer than last year.
Sure.
So yes, we've worked on expanding. We've definitely expanded equipment, like you've hinted on. We have $125,000 worth of new equipment coming in this month that will allow us to do even more things and get a broader audience. And we're real excited where the direction's going, and we're thankful for the beer fans of Houston. They're the ones who keeping us able to do this. We make these crazy things because people like drinking them, and they
sure.
And we feel like that we're executing them well, and it's really fun. It's exciting for us.
The direction
we're going. Well, I know you've been on Ian and Cruz's Smoking and Toasting a couple times. Definitely jealous, but I think. For me, and let me back up. So I know we brought you the Four Roses barrel to do a brewery release. But before that barrel got dropped in my lap and before I reached out to you and before the little baby showed her head, we talked about doing a wide release, something that could be seen. You don't have to necessarily go visit the distillery. So I definitely want to revisit that conversation. We did a... it equaled, I don't know what it equaled in terms of barrels. I want to say it was 600 cans of beer and 15 pony kegs, which was the first Nice Guy Eddie thing we did with Southern Star. It was a coconut barrel-aged stout. We barrel-aged it for just over a year and added vanilla and coffee, vanilla beans and coconut. Went very well.
Great beer.
Saw it.
It was fantastic. Yeah.
15 different bars across Houston, and the cans went like this. I've got maybe 4 cans left. I'm really stretching it out. Well, we want to ramp that up. Southern Star, we've Corona kind of put a halt in that, but we're talking about a 5,000 can statewide release, and we have the ability. Our last project, the very first beer project HBS ever did, was with you guys. It's a single barrel of Jack Daniels that we featured at the event.
It was good.
It was very, very good. but now our group is twice that size, coming in at 9,000 members. we want to do something with Ingenious that is just, I mean, I want to get the, I want to, yeah. That's just Ingenious. Yeah. I want to get the wheels turning.
Let's do it. Now we've got the capacity. We've got the, all the pieces in place now to, we could do a
right
six,
now,
6, 7, 8, 9 whiskey barrel release.
I think we're right now, I think what's currently aging at Copperhead is 7 barrels of Jack Daniels, and we're doing something called King of Taters.
That's going to be
awesome. You know their King of Taters release?
Yeah.
Seth. King of Taters with peanut butter barrel-aged stout.
Seth at Copperhead, he kills it, and these stouts he makes are just ridiculous. Our employees like line up and sometimes unsuccessfully try to get them because they're such, you know, acclaim. That's going to be good.
I think, and I could be wrong, and there may be some beer drinkers disagree with me on this. I think when it comes to barrel-aged stouts in Houston, it's hard. I mean, Copperhead kills it. I know Spindletop's become famous for their IPAs, their hazies. I would love to see what we can do in terms of size and scope and distribution wise. So we work with, I know you guys are self-distributing tech in Houston.
Currently now we self-distribute just in Houston market. We have statewide representation elsewhere.
So we work with all the big guys, Bex and Total Wine and Goody Goody and about 40 mom and pop stores. So I can line those up. I just want something as fun as what you're doing now.
Yeah.
And something different and unique and fun that maybe isn't such a headache and maybe has a little bit better profit margin for you than some of the super heavy fruited beers.
Like I think the last time we were on, it was like a, was it like a blueberry?
Blueberry crumble. I remember. Yeah.
Dude.
Yes, that's one of so our. Good. We make that.
You make it regularly, right?
Yeah, at least every 6 months. That's one of our.
And I've always been a big fan of your Froyos.
Yeah.
The Froyos, just for me, they're fantastic. So we've got one more segment left. I want to get into these old St. Nicks as we as we pour. Now you actually purchased these. These are the second iteration old St. Nicks.
Yeah, so.
What would you start with? And let's work up in terms of your drinkability.
The story of these, just briefly, I'm a huge fan of Old St. Nick, the original stuff.
The original stuff,
Some of our best friends, they were visiting years ago, probably even longer than that, St. Bart's, and they had an Old St. Nick pour there on their anniversary. And they'd come back, and I'd never seen it before because it's really foreign markets only 20 years ago.
Sure.
And they talked about it, and I was able to find a bottle on the bourbon black market that I got them for an anniversary gift, and they cracked it with us, and we were drinking. It was incredible. And it was old Stitzel Weller juice, probably
super fantastic.
And so,
have you had the winter rye?
They've had several different winter ryes. I've had one of them, but I haven't had the
fantastic release in the last. Like, great juice, years. Can't complain.
So yeah, great brand. It's just awesome. Everything about it is awesome. Nostalgia for it is awesome. And so when I saw these newer editions. And I was
excited.
I was at Costco pandemic buying, and I just happened to poke my head in the liquor store there, and they just put them on the shelf, and so I'll take them all. And so that's where all of these came from, all 5 of these bottles. And then I have one of the classic.
That one was actually on the shelf?
That was on the shelf.
The 17-year-old? Yeah,
this was all on the shelf at Costco.
Wow.
So I bought $400 in panic food and $2,000 in panic whiskey.
Panic whiskey, yeah, we've been there.
Yeah. So that's how I got these. And so from what you've kind of told us, These are bottled by a new company that's kind of bought.
No,
the brand.
It's the same. It's the same company. I mean, it's just the what happens is you have 20 years ago there were so many distilleries who just had access to excess great whiskey. Right, people as consumers were not drinking nearly at the rate that they were producing, and they were producing fantastic spirits back then. And so what happened was stuff would get sold off to brokers when they needed money. Hey man, we need money to expand this, to buy equipment. They sell stock to brokers. Then all these NDPs came about, these non-distilling producers, people who basically would buy great, just like what I did here with these rums. You would buy great products and bottle them under your own brand, which is what they did here. And the collector, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, you would be able to get access to just some of the best bourbon ever put out. Stitzel Weller juice, I mean, just great stuff. And when they brought the brand back, they did not have access to the same stuff. And it's not just them. I mean, Willett suffered the same result. There's a few non-distilling producers who basically were creating new products under the famousness or under the pride, or what's the word I'm looking for? Like when you ride someone's coattails, the days of yore, you know, they were living off their old famous nostalgia.
There we go.
But now at a newer, more expensive price. So for those who don't know, that St. Nick's half bottle is like $500
retail.
Yeah. Retail.
Wow.
You know, that wasn't even secondary pricing. So they basically came out with a new line of products, not the same access to the same good juice. And you messaged me, and I warned you, and then you hit me back, and you're like, ugh. I should have listened.
Well, no, I'd already bought it by the time I messaged you. There wasn't a whole lot of thinking. So St. Nick's, credit card.
This isn't bad.
In the car.
Yeah.
This isn't bad.
Not
this
bad
is the worst
all.
Of the bunch?
It's not the worst of the bunch. This is the middle range of the bunch.
I'm glad you started off with the middle range of the bunch, because I'd rather just avoid the gross one versus this is a good start. Good starting point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was like, I panic bought $2,000 worth of whiskey, and I was like, yeah, I panic bought like 4 bottles of T.W. Samuels for quarantine. So
that's because you spent all your money on windows. But as soon as you said you spent so much on panic buying whiskey, I said, we've all been there. He looked at me like, I haven't been there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, not at all. If it doesn't come in like 1.75 liters
plastic handles,
for under $40. It's not in my house.
What is there an age on this?
You have the bottle in front. I think it's the 8.
It's not bad. I wonder where it's from.
Yeah, it's good.
It's got to be Canadian. For me, it just has that.
No. This is bourbon. Kentucky, Bardstown. 8 years old. It's probably 110 proof. I'm sure they cut it. It doesn't say cash strength. I'd be willing to bet this is probably just Bardstown, 1792 juice.
I feel like my whiskey collection is like, you know, like moms that have crystal bowls. They're like, don't use the good china right now.
Oh, sure.
My whiskey collection is just like a plastic knockoff of it, you know. And I'm like, hey, don't use the good china. Let's.
I've got, I think it's not horrible. It's definitely young.
Just more of a.
Got some
nail polish removal.
Yeah, I mean it's got some.
Oh yeah,
that's what I meant by young. It's got that youthful bite.
But I mean, there's a lot of young out there that 8 years is not the youngest in the world by any means.
So what was the price on the 8 year?
I'm bad at looking at prices. I would say $100. I think.
So I had originally reached out to them about getting them on the show, and they talked about coming on before the release, and then the word got out of how it's just not the same product, and then it's at a premium now. So I just I respectfully and kindly just turned down the interview.
Really? Oh, yeah. That'd have been fun. Now they were expensive. I don't think they lived up to the name.
Sure.
If you, compared to something like this one, which we can crack in a minute, but it was fun for me to open these and try them.
Oh,
that's
sure.
Why I brought them
sure.
to the show, just so you.
Yeah, I'm not huge on. They're obviously, look, there's a lot of people nowadays there's a lot of specifically people who built the name off of just great bottles, and now those bottles are gone, and it's like, well, everyone's in the game now, so good luck trying to compete.
So you know better than I do the laws. You know, things like for a while Whistle Pig was bringing in Canadian rye and they were selling it.
They're still bringing Canadian rye. They stopped bringing in MGP. Actually, they might be aging some MGP. I know they still have some. But most of the single barrel picks now are all Alberta.
So, if they put product of Kentucky, it has to be Kentucky bourbon.
So there are a couple of state laws that, for instance, I'll give you a great example, Tennessee. In order to be called Tennessee whiskey, it has to go through the Lincoln County process and it has to be matured, aged, distilled, bottled in Tennessee.
Okay.
If in order to be called Tennessee whiskey within Tennessee, but theoretically you could bottle or buy some stock from brokers from Tennessee, bring it out to California, bottle it there, sell it just in California and call it Tennessee whiskey. That's where it was distilled. That's where it was originally aged. You're not breaking any rules. Kentucky bourbon, the problem is this company is in Kentucky. So in order to be called Kentucky bourbon, you have to meet those requirements.
I had read a rumor that they had sourced Canadian stock.
This is not Canadian whiskey. This is definitely bourbon. Yeah. And you definitely couldn't call it bourbon if they had... it says rye whiskey.
Well, this is a different
one.
Oh, it's a different model. I just got confused because I swear to God, I just saw bourbon.
Yeah.
That says Kentucky bourbon whiskey.
This one says Kentucky bourbon whiskey. Okay.
Yeah.
So perhaps that might have been what I was
thinking about. Might be from Alberta.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. If this is from Canada, and here's the thing. Yeah, it says product of Canada.
Oh, right there.
So, right on the label. So then it came from Alberta. So it's a bit tricky, right? So what does it mean to be produced by? I always conflate these two, but there are some people who will buy Canadian whiskey, like Whistle Pig, bring it to Kentucky or Vermont, where they're at, age it there, bottle it there, blend it there, the whole nine yards. That's a product of the U.S.
Right.
Because you've done something to it.
So they took, was it aged prior to there? Or does it matter?
I mean, I'm sure there was some age on it. Okay. Sure.
So if you put it in a separate barrel here, bottle it here, package it here.
If you do something to it, if there's a production done to it, right? You're blending it here. You're putting it in a second barrel. You're watering it down. Technically, that's a product of our rums. This is a product of the U.S. But really, what we did is we bought and purchased single barrels that were from individual countries. It says Belize rum on the front, Barbados, Guyana, aged in the Caribbean, or aged in Europe, brought here, bottled here. It's a product of the U.S.
Right. It's the same thing with regular manufacturing. Like if you have like a bunch of
raw materials. You buy the raw materials, you bring it here, you make steel.
Well, you can even like manufacture them overseas, but as long as you assemble them, like the finished product here in America, it's a made in USA product.
There was a company called, it was called Dark Rye. Dark Rye, it was from Jim Beam. Alberta Dark Rye, I think that's what it was called. They would send sherry and old granddad bourbon from Kentucky
up
to Canada, bottle it there. So it was rye from Canada, from Alberta, which is owned by Jim Beam. They would bring old granddad bourbon, which is also made by Jim Beam, up to Canada with sherry. They would bottle it, blend it there, and it was called the dark rye batch. And then it came to the U.S. as a product of Canada. And so therefore, because in the U.S., in order to call it a rye, it has to be from a brand new barrel. It can't be a used barrel. So those...
Really? You would think it would be the portion of grain that turned, because that's how typically rye.
Well, yeah, you do have to have a portion of grain. There's other requirements, but in order to be called a rye whiskey, it's got to be at least 51% rye in a brand new barrel. It can't be a used barrel. So when you take into account adding sherry and 4% Basil Hayden or Old Granddad Rye, or I'm sorry, God, I can't talk today.
You said Old Granddad.
Old Granddad Bourbon, right? Yeah. So they added 4% bourbon to the mix and 1% sherry to rye in Canada, blended it. It's a Canadian rye.
Interesting, even though...
So
even though
there's a big difference between Canadian rye and what we would call a rye if it's produced here. So in this case, God, for those listening, I may have very well butchered almost all of that. But this is rye whiskey, product of Canada, and most assuredly came from
Alberta. It's very good.
It's got caramel coloring added to it.
I thought like a cask strength typically led to like a higher percentage.
It does, and it's actually not a regulated term anymore.
Okay, yeah, because this is like a 82 proof.
So this is ancient cask, but it very well could be cut.
Well, it's definitely dosed with coloring. And they call it a product of Canada. This legendary rye whiskey was crafted and bottled using crystal clear water, the finest ingredients, and small. So far, I'm not hating the very old St. Nick.
Yeah. I mean, the first one we drank needed, you know, like a little bit of Coke.
It's been cut. Yeah, it's down to 82.8 proof.
Just go very light on this one. Not that it's bad. It's just that it's a poor...
Looks bad.
If you didn't know anything, you would drink this one and say this is the best. But
oh, really?
Yeah. Knowing what we know, you drink it and you go...
Well, it's definitely a used barrel for sure. 7-year-old maple rye.
It reminds me of...
Lord.
It reminds me of Maple Crown. Like, clearly, in my opinion, some sort of flavoring was added.
The 8-year-old rye is not bad, but I guarantee that was more than $100 for that bottle.
Every one of these was expensive.
Yeah, yeah, and you can get 14-year-old Canadian rye, cask strength, for $90 from barrel. And that's my only thing, is like, I get it if you don't have access to the same stock, but charging a premium based off your old.
That's I think what bothered a lot of people. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's reasonable, but it's just you charge such like a premium for it.
It's a dessert, yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say, this is the easiest to drink.
Easiest to drink, but it doesn't taste horrible. It's definitely dosed with syrup.
And they don't have to put that in the bottle.
Poor Brandon. You want another poor Brandon?
Let's drink the good stuff.
Oh. Absolutely. Brandon, I think I went back and listened to the episode that you contributed to off camera. I like that idea a lot. I like the idea of the peanut gallery contributing off camera with their little side mic thing. I think we should make it a more of a habit.
Especially since Brandon's the hottest person in the room.
That's an uncomfortable statement. I will say this, when there's something that I can speak to intelligently, sure, then I will, but you guys are just so much more versed in this than I am. So if you want to talk about, you know, headlining or how you edit in Adobe Premiere, then I'm all good for that.
Oh, yeah, what's your workflow?
So Brandon actually pointed out something, a huge flaw in the way we work on this show. When we present to advertisers, we give them ratings. We give them total accumulated views. And earlier this year, I hit the mark on YouTube to actually start generating revenue.
Oh, you got 1,000 followers, and
yeah, and
look at you knowing it. How about that?
I actually do edit video. So whenever I said, "What's your workflow?" I was very interested. Actually,
yeah, there we go.
I know more about Adobe software than I do about high end whiskeys.
Well, we get most of our views from the Bourbon Facebook world by posting to these groups and our followers there. But there's actually no ad revenue from it whatsoever. It's so. We're going to stop uploading the show to Facebook and just upload to YouTube.
And then share.
And then share it on Facebook.
Yeah.
This is darker than death.
Man. I'm not going to bore up the audience with like Facebook analytics and all that stuff. But typically when you're sharing a YouTube link on Facebook,
you get less.
Yeah, Facebook throttles you down.
Because they want you to use their video player.
Yeah, because you stay, and we talked about this. People are less likely to click on a link that takes them off the site that they're on. But substantial difference in ad revenue.
Yeah, well, for sure. Well, Facebook just opened up ad revenue, too.
They did, but it's so hard. Again, we're just gonna dominate this conversation. Yeah. Hey, welcome into Advertising Neat. This is Brandon.
This is really interesting. So it's over oak, so you can tell it's set in the barrel for that full 17 years. It doesn't remind me. I mean, the nose reminds me of Stitzel Weller, but
this is my favorite one of the.
Oh yeah, three. It's the $500 bottle. So. There's a licorice anise note to this.
Yeah, definitely the licorice anise. Yeah,
super strong. You already drank it all?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I drink like a homeless person. So.
Find a way to tie it.
Homeless plus.
Yeah.
Homeless plus. Bougie homeless.
Can you Airbnb a van?
You know, I thought about that.
It had a bed in it, right?
Yeah, it had a whole bed.
I remember it had that button that would lower the bed. I got it.
So you rode in the van before I like literally put a bed in it. We showed up somewhere and I made you drink in the back seat of it.
Correct. Like, and then all of a sudden the bed started laying down like I was about to get Bill Cosby'd and I didn't.
I mean, if it wasn't such a walk from the front seat to the back seat, maybe. But
man, those old vans were fantastic. They were so huge. So this is not bad. It's not bad. I don't know that I'd pay $500 for it, but. It is what reminiscent of those old bottlings of decent St. Nick.
It's definitely put a fire in my chest, you know. Probably gonna get in trouble.
I cannot stop thinking about the licorice note. It kind of reminds me of the Guyana. This Guyana is we are speculating it's from a specific still. There's only one distillery in Guyana, Diamond Distillery, and Diamond Distillery has a specific rum still made from hardwood, and it's the oldest rum pot still in the world. It's been around for forever, and it imparts a specific licorice anise note, and that's all I'm getting from this is like a ton of tannin, a ton of wood. But I wish I knew how much it cost at on secondary sites. It's got to be at least $1,000, right?
I don't know.
Possibly.
Let's open this guy.
All right. So now this is the era, right? That's the previous era.
So this is a 25-year. This bottle's probably 20 years old. So this was probably made 45 years ago, which is cool.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that on this show, the idea of these bottles essentially being time capsules of a different era, right? I mean, I know that like in La Porte, which where me and Charles are from, they did a time capsule like in 2000.
Yeah.
And they plan to open it in 2050, and it's full of like children's artwork and farts. I mean, I don't really like nothing important.
What a great prank. I'm gonna fart in the time capsule that way.
But but with booze, you are literally getting a frozen moment of time.
Yeah.
Of when these things were made. If that bottle is 25 years old and or 20 years old and the liquid in it is 25 years old, I mean, this was borderline as before the moon landing, right?
I think we landed in 69. Yeah, if we did. You know.
Yeah, if we did. Yeah, that was bullshit.
Look, man, if Elon can't do his rocket ship
because of rain,
yeah,
freaking loser.
Yeah, come on.
I'm just kidding. Elon's a saint. If you can get it open.
Yeah, it's it did it differently back then. Still use the stereo strip, which I appreciate. People have asked us in the beer business to put the stereo strips on.
That's actually quite common. There you go. So while you're fiddling with that, I may have a backup cork in my bag. What's next for Ingenious?
What's next? So we talked about expansion. So we're doing distribution expansion. We're seeing more. We're getting into more markets in the state, and yeah, we're gonna have to doctor this guy up a little bit.
So this is a like 25-year.
So it's aged for 25 years.
Yeah,
and it's a 20-year-old bottle.
Now this has that maple note in it. That's not from adjuncts.
Weird flavor,
as you'd call them in beer. Ancient rare whiskey.
Wow.
Ancient reserve distilled date 73. Distilled in 1973. Bottled in 1999. This is
fantastic.
That is old Saint Nick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what
makes you believe in Santa Claus again.
This is what on a blind purchase you spend $2,000 for, because that's what you think.
Now that is something that, man, that is fantastic.
Wow.
Even with a touch of cork.
Even with a touch of cork.
But no worries. Listen, Justin, I know I've kind of hit you up surprisingly with like 48 hours notice. It's been weird the last couple of months, just trying to scramble around this whole thing and fit time in to do this has been put me in a position to be less prepared. No excuses. But thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for what you're doing in the Houston beer scene, seriously.
Our pleasure.
Chuck, buddy, good seeing you, man.
Good seeing you too,
man. We'll figure out tomorrow, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's been you know, with Corona, you think you'd have all the time in the world to hang out with friends, but quite the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, well, we social distance. You know, I sat on the other side of the table, but I went over to your house during Corona, and it was a breath of fresh air. You know,
well, it was after the quarantine.
Yeah, it wasn't during.
Don't get me ripped apart online here.
How dare you wear your mask? Well, I mean, we're definitely 2 feet apart right now, so.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
The coronavirus only goes 6 feet forward.
Yeah,
I feel like you need a French kiss you just to really piss off the crowd.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. And, thank you again. And, I guess we'll see what this our beer turns out.
Yeah. No, yeah? It's going to be good.
Get this peanut brittle thing working out.
Yeah.
I like the idea a lot.
I do, too.
For sure.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Cheers.
Bye. Balcone's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.